Blog Talk Radio.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, all three engines up and burning, 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coach on Fire Radio.
I am the tire.
Okay, welcome everyone. I was talking to my my girlfriend, a couple of hours ago before our show was scheduled to start, and I said I was in the bullpen warming up, kind of in honor of the World Series, which is about to get started here in the United States. And little did I know that we would have a little bit of our own rain delay due to a tech issue of my own causing, unfortunately. But we're here now and ready to go, and hopefully I can pitch a complete game, and we will have an absolutely awesome show. The other night, or actually last night, an elderly neighbor of mine who lives down the street was stricken ill and had no one else to take her to the hospital, so I volunteered, and she's 86 years old and just a sweet lady, is constantly making brownies and cookies for everyone in the neighborhood. And believe me, they're very, very good. I definitely eat my share when she brings them over. But I always like to ask people, what's their best piece of advice? And it was really interesting because she's, 86 years old and just has this kind of wealth of wisdom about her and just a very, very nice lady. And she said two words to me while we were in the car driving to the hospital. She said, "My way." And I'd already known from talking to her that she was a big Frank Sinatra fan. I used to work for President Reagan and got to meet Mr. Sinatra a couple of times. And that was really cool because when he's in the room, let me tell you, class is in session. But he had sung a song years and years ago called "My Way." And so I asked her to elaborate on that a little bit. And really what she's saying is, be yourself and do it your way, and don't let anybody tell you what you should be doing in your life. She says, everyone wants to run your life. Everyone wants to tell you what to do, but you need to do it your way. And I thought, what a wonderful piece of wisdom from this wonderful 86-year-old lady. And when you think about it, it's really true. We have everyone in our lives trying to tell us, well, don't do that, or do this, or this is what I would do. But we really need to be true to ourselves and do exactly what we were born to do. And the only person that knows that is you. So anyway, I thought that was a great piece of advice. And really, the only way you're ever going to accomplish your dream is to be true to yourself, is to follow your heart, follow your passion, and don't listen to the naysayers out there. So a great piece of advice from my neighbor, 86-year-old Maxine. So I don't know if she's listening today in the hospital or not, because I did admit her. But if she is, hello, Maxine, and I hope you're feeling better. And I encourage everyone to do it my way, or as Frank Sinatra says, and I did it my way, and I should never try to sing on a show. However, we do have one of our Coach on Fire radio hosts that is an absolutely wonderful singer. So if you get a chance to listen to Jessica Aaronworth's show, ask her to sing sometime. She is absolutely wonderful. But if you ever hear me do that again, slap me in the face, because I am not good at it. Okay, no more singing. And some of you know that a few years ago, I wrote a book called Don't Seek Success, Be Happy. And Be Happy was with an I. And it's really an acrostic, and it stands for belief, enthusiasm, heart, attitude, passion, purpose, and imagination. And while the title is provocative and it says don't seek success in it, it's really kind of counterintuitive, because if you follow those seven core principles, belief, enthusiasm, heart, attitude, passion, purpose, and imagination, success and happiness is going to find you. And over the next few weeks, I want to go over each of those core principles, because if you incorporate those core principles into your life and you follow them and you get better with them every day, I guarantee you success and happiness is going to find you. So I want to talk a little bit about belief. Self-belief is just so important. Now, it's not the end all. You still have to take action. But you need to believe in yourself and you need to believe in your ideas. And let me tell you a little story. Back when I was nine years old, I grew up in a small town in California near the wine country in the Napa Valley. And there was a local public swimming pool. And they also had a swim team. And I was, you know, those were back in the days where kids could ride their bikes all over town and not really have a problem with it. And so I was doing that, and I landed at the pool. And the swim team happened to be having a practice. And I watched, and I watched, and I watched, and thought to myself, I want to do that. And I believed I could do it with all my heart. There's only one problem with that. I did not know how to swim very well at the time. So I rode my bike all the way downtown to my father's office. And as I usually did when I had something important to tell my father, I walked right past his assistant, Mary, right into his office. He was on the phone. I sat down, folded my arms, waited for him to get off the phone. And he says, Michael, can I help you? I said, I want to join the swim team. Now, he tried to keep a straight face. He knew I couldn't swim very well. And he says, why do you want to do that? And I says, because I can do it and I want to win medals and trophies. And I wouldn't let up on it. So I says, I'll tell you what, I'll take you down and try out, but you have to accept what the coach says. And I said, okay. And my father was absolutely convinced that I'd get across the pool and the coach would try to let me down easy and say, well, you're not quite ready for the team, but when you learn to swim better, come back and see me. I got to my suit. Coach was there. He says, okay, jump in the pool and swim across to the other end. And I did that, and I thrashed my way across. I was absolutely, absolutely horrible. But I made it to the other end. And I got out of the pool, and the coach says, congratulations, you're on the team. I thought my father was going to fall off of his chair. And later on, my father asked him, why did you accept him on the team? He could barely swim. He said, because he has belief. He believes he can do it. I can teach him to swim, but he believes he can win. He believes he can do it, and that's the kind of person I want on my team. Now, why I did that at such a young age, I don't know. But that kind of belief has served me well in my career, whether it was in politics with President Ronald Reagan and, you know, doing things outside of my comfort zone or in writing my book or in my own business. Belief has served an important role. But I want to caution you, belief isn't the total answer. You do need to believe in yourself. You need to have others believe in you. And I've also been fortunate in my life that my parents and other people in my relationship have believed in me and have always believed I could do it. But it doesn't work unless you take action. You can't just let belief, okay, I believe I can do it, and then sit on your butt, basically, and do nothing. You need to take that belief and turn it into positive, concrete, forward-moving action. And that's what I mean by belief. Believe in yourself. And if you find people in your lives that do not believe in you, then you need to find a way to kind of remove yourself from that kind of negativity. In my book, I called it negativitis. I kind of created this word and contrasted that with positivitis. But you need to at least limit your interaction with negative people in your life as much as you possibly can. And sometimes it might even take radical surgery where you have to extract them from your life altogether in order to move forward with your dream, in order to achieve the reality that you're after. And so with that, I think time to introduce. We have an absolutely fascinating guest today. Her name is Ms. Lily Gardner. She is from a neighboring state of mine in Utah. By the way, I'm Michael Brooks, and I'm coming to you live from beautiful Boise, Idaho. A little bit chilly out here today. We've had temperatures in the high 80s, low 90s, but this week fall has hit us. We had a nice 73-degree day yesterday, but it is chilly today. So I'm a little bit bundled up and ready to go with the show. So let me tell you a little bit about Lily before I introduce her to you. She is the winner of the Dr. Martin Luther King Youth Leadership Award from the University of Utah a few years back for demonstrating commitment to social action, positive change, and building bridges between communities and cultures. And I find that pretty fascinating. Lily has also had some very difficult, traumatic experiences in her life that has led her to a very purposeful mission. And she has now embarked on a journey to discover the reasons people have become desensitized and their feelings towards one another and the way people can heal from those past traumas. So, among other things, today, Lily has started a social movement to safeguard liberty and improve health and well-being, and she wants to create major vibrational shifts within individuals. And I'm not sure I even understand exactly that, but Lily and I are going to get into it. And this is the interview portion of our show. So welcome, Lily. I am thrilled to have you on the show today.
Hello, Michael. Can you
hear
me?
How are you? I can hear you fine. How are you doing today? Everything going well on this magical Monday?
Yeah, it's going great.
Cool. So, Lily, why don't you give us the Dun & Bradstreet quick little bio, a little bit about your credentials, your education, and then get into the story a little bit of how you came to get to where you are today to start this social movement. And
okay.
We'll just start from there and move forward.
Okay. So I studied sociology in my undergrad at BYU and then went on to study sociology at the graduate level. So I have always been interested in freedom and concepts of inequality and stuff like that. But I also, when I was a missionary for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, I had a really traumatic experience with my mission president, who later the FBI found in an investigation that he could have been tried for attempted murder for how he treated the female missionaries. So I became passionately interested in how people get to a point where they would kill another person or try to kill another person. And so I studied a lot of that in my sociology work and also trying to heal from that experience. I studied a lot about, I learned a lot about alternative health and holistic health. And as I was finishing up grad school, my time in grad school, I actually was too sick to graduate, but I, towards the end of my time there, I was teaching a class at the University of Utah, and my students were really getting uncomfortable with some of the stuff that I was teaching them because they realized that we're headed for some really big problems in the country. And so one of them one day said, "What do we do about these problems?" And I said, "Well, it would take a social movement to be able to turn it around." And I was talking specifically about problems of desensitization and mental health, because the mental health disability rate has increased by 600% since the 1950s. And so that day I realized that I was kind of on the cutting edge of knowing what needed to happen. And then through my efforts to make the church aware of the problem in my mission field, the FBI heard about me, and they had heard about me through the grapevine. I have an uncle who is FBI, and they had heard that I wanted to start a social movement, and they were also interested in the same avenues, many of the same things. And so they decided that it would need to be a covert operation, and I would be the spokesperson for that operation so that I could say things that are not politically correct for the spokesperson of the FBI to say.
Okay, Lori, let's focus a little bit on the social movement that you've been spearheading here. What exactly is it, and what is your message?
So my message is that we need to safeguard liberty, and we need to improve health and well-being by looking within ourselves, kind of like the song Man in the Mirror by Michael Jackson. We have to look within and change our personal energy and create shifts within ourselves so that we can have health and happiness, and so that we can resolve a lot of the problems that are in our society. We're concerned that there are groups in power that have bought out the media, a large portion of the media, and they are working to overthrow the governments of the world. And so we feel like that the only way for that to change, with them having control of the media and much of the government, is through energy shifts within individuals by spreading love. Jimi Hendrix has a quote that says, "When the power of love overcomes the love of power, the world will know peace." And so we want to teach people through transformational principles how to love and how to have health and happiness, just like what you teach and just things that will be taught in this network are the kinds of things that we want people to know and to focus on.
Okay, and Lily, how do you specifically go about teaching people to do that?
Well,
to create those major shifts.
Well, I think that there are different modalities that you can use. What I do for myself is I'm in four different energy programs, but one of them is involved with they had us make a movie of affirmations set to music, and so it was just pictures with affirmations, positive statements about what you want in life, and that retrains the brain to think more positively by watching it repetitively. So I watch it twice a day. I made a really powerful video for me that helps me to stay in a positive state. But there are lots of ways there to raise your personal vibration, to shift your energy. I want to explain energy. Is that okay if I just explain how I came across this concept?
Exactly. I think that's the gist of the question, really. So let's talk about energy and the vibrational shifts and move on from there.
Okay. So I went to a massage therapist several years ago and saw on her shelf some bottles, little bottles of myrrh, frankincense, hyssop, and other essential oils from the Bible. And I recognized the names of frankincense and myrrh as as gifts that had been given to Jesus. So I knew that it was things in the Bible, but I didn't know what it was. So I reached out and picked up the myrrh, and I felt a surge of power going from my fingers running up my arm into my nose. So I felt this energy. And most people can't feel power like I can. I can feel when I'm near a computer lab or other things. But so I became really interested in what kind of power was in those bottles, because I was like, whoa, that's like a battery in a bottle. And so I read about essential oils and found out that anciently people learned to harness electromagnetic frequencies from plants to help them heal physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And scientists have found that electromagnetic vibrating waves of light are the smallest units of energy. So they're smaller than protons and electrons. And so we are composed of these units of energy, and we have different feelings, words, and thoughts that each have their own electromagnetic frequency. So people radiate magnetic energy out into the universe at whatever frequency they're on, depending on the thoughts, words, and feelings that they're expressing. And so the heart is a magnetic boombox, and it receives a magnetic response like an echo. Just like a magnet attracts things that are like it, and unlike magnets repel, when we're in a state of love and happiness, we radiate that frequency and attract to us people and circumstances that will bring more of what we're sending out. So love and happiness are high frequencies. Gratitude and others are also high frequencies. Anger, hate, and resentment are low frequencies. And there are scientific frequency tests that have been done on people and on animals and on plants, and those frequency tests have found that when you have severe health problems, your frequency is lower than when you're healthy. And at death, it drops much. When people start dying, it drops down, and then at zero, a person dies when their electromagnetic frequency is at zero. So it's something that has really fascinated me to learn how to use vibration, because people for thousands of years used to use essential oils to help themselves heal emotionally, physically, and spiritually. But in our Western world, a lot of people use drugs that don't happen to have any power in them like the essential oils do. But we have within ourselves the power to change our thoughts and our feelings by thinking differently. When we repetitively, we get in habits of our emotional response to circumstances, and then those responses become ingrained within ourselves, and we have a set point frequency that we kind of usually get stuck at. And so it's really important to learn to raise your frequency and stay in a high vibration. And for some people, those that are on a high vibration, it just seems like a lot of things just work out for them. Not always, but when things don't work out, they respond quickly and are able to deal with things better because they're on a high vibration.
Let me stop you here for a second, Lily, and give the phone number out before you go on. If any of our listeners would like to call in this afternoon, and if you have a question for Lily or even for me, give us a call. The phone number is 646-716-7979. That's 646-716-7979. And we'll be more than happy to take your questions. Just call into that number and be patient, and we will get to you just as soon as we can. Okay, Lily, I'm sorry for interrupting you there. Continue.
Okay. So which part of that would you like me to explain more clearly?
Okay, I think what I want you to do is let's take a hypothetical here.
Okay.
Suppose someone comes to you suffering from severe resentment and anger. I know essential oils are becoming more and more popular in the United States today, but say a client or someone that you're coaching or a friend, anyone comes to you suffering from that ailment, extreme anger and resentment. How would you shift the vibrational energy in that person to help them overcome that problem?
I would have them write out, well, I would have them do what's called the process. Pam Robinson introduced the healing modality, and she's the person who owns the Healing Institute of Arts. And so I would have them go through a process of imagining their anger and releasing it visually by through. So what she does is she has people kind of create like a video in their mind of what it would look like if that energy was released into the atmosphere. So if it's like a bomb or something, then picture a place that would be, just imagine. Through imagination, you can shift things because the brain doesn't know that it's not real. So you can imagine through visualization, imagine that you are releasing all of the negative energy, and so like so you could imagine burning a specific house down of someone that hurt you or something, and then and that would release a lot of that resentment, and then you can write forgivenesses. You can write down, I forgive so and so for this and that, and until you feel an actual shift, because when you write that out, each time you write a sentence saying, I forgive so-and-so for this specific action, I forgive so-and-so for hitting me. So then every time you write that down, the energy diminishes. And so you just write it out until you can feel yourself shift from that, and then you can go on to another aspect of how to, of what you need to forgive. And so writing forgiveness is something that was really strong for me. And visualizing visualizing releasing emotion through, like, letting go of it, and then something happens because of what you have released, but then there's closure to that process. It's a really neat process that I can't explain very well that Pam Robinson does, but there are a whole bunch of different processes, but that's the one that I would go to first for someone with resentment and anger. Writing forgiveness is really easy to do. I would work on the chakras. Do you know what chakras are?
I do. I am not real educated in that area, but why don't you explain for our listening audience what chakras are and how they can help?
Okay. So chakras are wheels of energy that are the body is made up of wheels of energy that circulate around the heart, and there are different colors of chakras. So there's different colors are different colors because they're different frequencies of light. And so the there are seven different chakras, and they start at the top of the head and work down, and they circulate energy around the body, and when they're stuck or when they're not working properly, then a person becomes out of balance, or their energy doesn't flow to, it just doesn't, they don't interact as well, and they're a lot more likely to get sick, and
so okay, Lily, how do you bring the chakras back into alignment?
How do you bring the chakras? It depends on which chakra's out.
Okay. Pick one that might be out of alignment, and how would you bring it back into alignment?
Okay. The solar plexus is the one that is out of alignment with anger. And so when you're feeling a lot of anger, then there are blockages that are created, and you can have stomach problems because the solar plexus is in the stomach area. And so one thing to do to help the solar plexus is to laugh more, cry more, and just express emotion. This is one that that is really sensitive to having repressed emotion. So crying, laughing, taking herbs such as ginkgo biloba, milk thistle, dandelion, and ginger are good for this chakra.
Okay.
So,
anything else you want to add on that?
No, not really.
Not really? Okay. You talk about building bridges between communities and cultures. You want to enlighten us a little bit on that. How are you going about doing that, other than what you've already discussed?
Okay. Well, let's see. I think that when I was I won that award for building bridges between community and cultures when I was in high school. And I actually invited a friend of mine who was African American to come to my high school in southern Utah, where there was a lot of segregation between the Caucasian students and the Native Americans. And so I invited him to come and pretend to move in so that people would get to know him, and then at the end of his experience, they were able to... I organized an assembly, a high school assembly, And he got up and spoke about his experience and how he was treated and how he was happy that he was able to be treated well and well received, but he was sad that there was so much segregation there and there was no reason for the segregation. And so he talked about how we're missing out if we don't get to know people of other cultures and other ideas and people who aren't like us. And so it was an experience that taught me that you can change really persistent social structures by just having talks with people and but really creative, really well done experiences like that. Everyone got to know him, and they had never seen an African American before, and so their perceptions of African Americans were based on what was on television. And so it was just a really amazing experience that that kind of changed the world from night to day in that area and in that place. One of the teachers the next year told me, the next school year, said, you know, this school year has been night and day from what it was last year. There's respect between the girls and the boys. There's respect for the teachers, and there's respect between races. And I was like, well, why is that? And she said, that's because of what you did with your friends coming and the work that I was able to do in that assembly through the messages that we sent out. And so I believe that people's hearts can be changed through things like experiences like the movie Remember the Titans. And just really well done media. So I would like to share that story in more detail with the people who were actually there in the situation on one of my shows.
Since we've only got 20 minutes left in the show, Lily, let's talk about that. You are one of our newer, in fact, you are the newest Coach on Fire Radio Network host. So let's talk a little bit about what's coming up. I believe your show is going to air at noon Mountain Time on Wednesday. That is what? Today's the 26th, so the 28th. You're going to have a whole brand new show. It's called the North Star Show. What are you going to be doing on the North Star Show, and how are you going to be helping people with your mission?
Okay, the North Star Show will be, the theme is reviving the soul and turning trials into mercies in disguise. And so we'll also be talking about principles of freedom. But I want to talk about kind of reviving the individual in order to revive society. As a sociologist, I'm really interested in sociologists studied the other way around, how influences, outside influences, affect the individual. But we want to teach people to affect the outside world through managing themselves better, through recognizing the influences that are on them and learning to better be an agent of action and power in their own circle and be a leader in order to bring about important changes in the world.
Okay, and that show is the North Star Show and hosted by Lily Gardner, who you're just hearing from. If in the last few minutes of our show you have a question for Lily or myself, give us a call. The phone number is 646-716-7979. That's 646-716-7979. And Lily, I have one final question for you, but before I do that, I want to talk a little bit about the Coach on Fire radio network in general. We have a full slate of shows this week. Tomorrow night we have Wendy Berry coming up. Wendy focuses on women in the second half of life. Her show is called Phoenix Women, and that will air at 7 Central Time, CST, 7 o'clock Central Time tomorrow night. I believe her guest is Linda Bullard, who has overcome all sorts of obstacles late in her life. And Wendy has lots of really, really cool stuff for boomer women. She does dream interpretation. She does a section on menopause. And she really celebrates success in the second half of life. So you're going to want to listen to Wendy. Again, that's tomorrow night, Tuesday the 27th at 7 p.m. Central Time for Phoenix Women with Wendy Berry. We also, as I just mentioned, have Lily coming up on Wednesday at noon Mountain Time. I believe on Thursday we have Kristen Hornbrook at noon Eastern Time. Now, she has a show called Defeat Your Goliath, and it's all about overcoming blocks and obstacles. Kristen is a self-talk expert, and this is Kristen's premier show, and you're going to want to, along with Lily's, you are going to want to tune in because Kristen has just a wonderful personality. And you're going to have a good time with Kristen. She is a lot of fun. On Friday, we have our return appearance from the lovely and gracious Karina Gonzalez out of Johannesburg, South Africa. And Karina is all sorts of fun, and she has a spectacular show planned for Friday. And I believe that's at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. And she's going to do a Halloween-themed show or a fear-based show for Halloween, and she's going to put everyone, or she's going to put people through a process or teach a process on how to overcome fear. Karina's a lot of fun. If anyone's seen her videos on in Facebook groups and on YouTube, Karina is very, very fun and just a wonderful person, and you're going to have fun with Karina on Friday as well. Again, that's With Intent, the name of Karina's show. That will air live at 1 p.m. Eastern on Friday, and I can't wait for that show either. Karina's always a lot of fun, and you never know what to expect from Karina. So go forward with that, and make sure you listen to Karina's show. And the next week, we'll be talking about the shows that we have coming up the week after this. Jessica Aaronworth will be on again, Valerie Ector, just people that you're starting to get to know here on the Coach on Fire Radio Network, and they'll be back with their second shows. So, back to you, Lily.
Okay.
One more question. Where do you see the social movement that you are spearheading? Where do you see it going, and what would be your ideal? What would be your dream in 5 years and then 10 years from now?
My dream would be that millions of people in the United States would understand the principles that are taught in the transformational leaders and applying those to their lives. So, like, this network is just an amazing blessing that I feel like is really needed, because I think that a lot of people need to learn about the principles of transformation and learning to raise their vibration, and there are certain people who know that, but they're kind of in their own segments of society. So I'd like for it to be much more well-known and more just much broader. Natalie Ledwell is someone who is working in this area, and she has started making curriculum for children to be able to learn to manage their emotions and manage their dreams and visualization and stuff like that. And so she's doing a lot around the world to bring about a brighter future through teaching these principles. And so I think that just connecting with the right people will really help to move things forward so that there are a lot of, we need people to shift about how they go about healthcare and who's, healthcare is one of them, and then just feeling like they can be in control of their own lives is one thing that we want more people to understand, how to control their own destiny, find their purpose, and be positive change agents. And so that's where I just hope that it will have spread to millions of people and over the next few years.
Awesome, Lily. I want to thank you for being on Ignite Your Life today. It's been a fascinating interview. And now let's, before we end with you here, have a little bit of fun. what's one thing most people don't know about Lily Gardner?
One thing most people don't know? Oh, boy. For some reason, that's really hard. Okay. My favorite possession is my softball gloves. I played softball when I was young. Most people at that time know that I played softball, but most people don't know what I would choose as my favorite possession, and it's my softball glove, because I just loved I loved that sport. And it brings back a lot of memories of me winning games for the team, because I would, when I was young, I was really, really small, and I would go up to the base to, when I would get at home plate to bat, everyone would move forward, and then I would knock it over their heads because they moved forward, and it just reminded me of how much fun that was to be so underestimated and be able to really contribute to the team because I was so underestimated.
All right, very cool, Lily. And again, thank you for being here. I'll look forward to your show, the North Star Show, at 12 noon Mountain Time. And one final fun question for you. Who's
okay.
your celebrity crush?
Oh, no. Jimmy Fallon.
Jimmy Fallon. I love Jimmy
yes.
Fallon. Good choice, Lily. All right, Lily. We will let you start to get ready for your show on Wednesday. Again, that's at 12 noon. And, oh, tell us about who your guest is going to be.
My guest is going to be Alex Spazer. He's a leadership expert, and he teaches people to manage their emotions and their mindsets in order to then improve their families and improve their communities and nations.
Okay, very cool. That will be a very intriguing interview indeed. Lily, if you could stay on the line as we go through this final segment here, just in case anyone has a question for you.
Okay.
Again, we've got about 9 or 10 minutes left. The phone number is 646-716-7979. Lily Gardner is standing by for your questions, as am I. And let's move on into the final segment of the show. This is going to be called Walt's Wisdom. Anyone who knows me knows that I am a big-time admirer of Walt Disney. I am a Disneyland, Disney World, Epcot fanatic, and I've studied Walt Disney extensively. And Walt has these nuggets of wisdom that we can all learn in our coaching practices or our businesses or whatever it is. And I want to talk about one today that a lot of people may not know about. Walt Disney started Disneyland. Well, it actually, Disneyland opened in July 17th, 1955. So 60 years ago, Disneyland is celebrating its 60th birthday. And today we know Disneyland as the epitome of what an amusement park or a theme park should be. It is a well-oiled machine, to say the least, and it welcomes millions and millions of visitors now on four continents, or Disney parks on four different continents. But Disneyland was the first one down in Anaheim, California, not too far from where I grew up. And I, on my 10th birthday, I went to Disneyland for the first time, and I absolutely fell in love with it. And as I said, it is a well-oiled machine. Everyone has a wonderful experience at Disney. The crowds might be a little much at times. But what happened in 1955 on that opening day? Walt Disney had a celebrity invitation-only opening on that day. He also was able to engineer a national television broadcast hosted by my former boss, Ronald Reagan, Bob Cummings, and a man many of the boomers may remember, Art Linkletter, who had a show called Kids Say the Darndest Things. And along with Walt, they were hosting this national television broadcast. But it was a celebrity-ridden opening day on a Sunday. The media had been invited, and Walt had also started the Wonderful World of Disney show, a Disneyland show, a year before Disneyland was to open. So they had hundreds of counterfeit tickets that people, because the buzz that Disney had created through the media was just incredible. Well, the problem was, on Disney's opening day, they were not quite ready for prime time, not even remotely close. Women's heels were getting stuck in the fresh concrete. Half of Tomorrowland wasn't open. Because Walt Disney had such an aggressive construction schedule, they completed the park from the day they started to the day he opened on Sunday in exactly 1 year. Well, there were plumber strikes. There were other delays because Walt had exacting standards. But his advisors told him to delay the opening, and he refused. He had promised to open on that day, and he did. But the problems were even greater than he expected. Restrooms had to be not locked up, but drinking fountains, I should say, had to be turned off just so many of the restrooms would operate. So people had to actually buy drinks. The drinking fountains weren't working at all. Women who in those days wore heels to Disneyland, if you can believe that, their heels were getting stuck in the concrete. Half of Tomorrowland wasn't working. It was a blistering hot day, so you can imagine, no drinking fountains. Walt would later call this day Black Sunday. Because he was involved in the national television broadcast, he had no clue to the extent of the problems. He knew it wasn't going to be perfect, but he agreed to open anyway. So if you are a coach or you are an entrepreneur, take a lesson from Walt, and it doesn't have to be perfect to start. You can correct those challenges and correct those problems later, and that's exactly what Walt did. In 1 month to the day that they opened, every problem that Disneyland had that the media had criticized them so heavily for, with just horrible reviews, had corrected, and 2 months later, Disneyland welcomed its 1 millionth visitor. Now, that's a success story that anyone can admire. So my lesson for you today is launch your product, launch your program, make sure it's well on its way, but it doesn't have to be perfect. Disneyland wasn't perfect on opening day. Today, as I said, it is running like a charm. It is, you know, practically everyone's favorite place in the world. So go with that. Don't make sure it's not, you know, when you launch, I should say, when you launch your product, it doesn't have to be perfect. The most important thing is to get it out there and get it in front of the public. You'll get customer feedback, which will help you improve it. And as Walt also said, you know, Disneyland would never be finished as long as imagination exists in the world. The same needs to go for your business. As long as you have imagination, keep imagining new ways to evolve your business, to create new things, new products, new programs, new methods of getting the word out there. Always keep your business evolving and growing. That is one of the keys to the success of Disneyland. But again, it wasn't perfect on opening day. Yet despite all the bad press reviews, on the next public opening, the next day on Monday morning, they had over 15,000 people waiting in line when it opened at 10 a.m. That is a whole other story that we'll go into at a later time on the power of publicity and creating a positive media vibe. And Walt was a master at that, too. So with that, I think that's all we have for today. Don't forget to listen to Wendy Berry tomorrow night, Phoenix Women at 7 p.m. Central. And, of course, our guest today, Lily Gardner's show, is coming up on Wednesday at noon Mountain Time. And we have Kristen Hornbrook at noon Eastern on Thursday with Defeat Your Goliath. And Karina Gonzalez with Intent on a fear-based Halloween show on Friday afternoon at 1 Eastern. Listen to all of those shows. I would appreciate it. If you guys would like to give me, any of our listeners would like to give us any feedback on the Coach on Fire Radio Network and what you would like to see, you can email me at pbi2012@aol.com, and I would love to hear from you. So with that, I hope everyone is having a magical Monday, and until next week, that's a wrap. Be great. Thank you.